This morning, our scripture lesson is Matthew 1, 18 through 22. And I do know what season it is, and I know what season the scripture lesson is, but I hope at the conclusion of this message that it will make sense to you. Matthew 1, 18 through 22. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I considered this day, I reflected on three things. Now, this is not the sermon outline, but it's how I arrived at the thought that I hope to leave you with. I considered my relationship with my dad. I considered my attempt at being a dad. And I was drawn to the passage we just read. When I think about my dad, some characteristics stand out. One was, Dad was our protector. As a child, if I was with Dad, regardless of how scary the surroundings, I was okay. As a child, even as a teenager, I felt as long as Dad was home, nothing could happen. Dad's presence meant safety. You'll recall John chapter 15. In the King James Version, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." I got to be honest with you. Mansions don't impress me. I've never desired to have a mansion. When I get to heaven, when I say that, I'm definitely trusted in grace. But when I get to heaven, I really don't care if I have a mansion or not. If that's what God wants to give me, that's God's choice. But really, I could care less. Other translations of the Bible say, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places." Just give me a room in my Father's house. If I have a room in my Father's house, all will be well. If I have a room in my Father's house, all will be safe. If I have a room in my Father's house, all will be secure. Also, when I think about my dad, if the family encountered crisis or difficulty, we just knew Dad would handle it. We had no clue how, and now since I've been a dad myself, he probably had no clue how. But we knew he'd handle it. One way or another, we would be okay. Because Dad would find a way. And Dad sacrificed for his family. I know I've told this before, but bear with me. It made an indelible impression upon me. I was a child of the 70s. Or I am a child of the 70s. Whichever way that goes. Graduated high school in 1976, so firmly entrenched in the 70s. Besides our platform shoes and bell-bottom pants and flared-out shirts, and I tried to grow my hair long, but it turned out more frizzy. The main thing I remember about the 70s is it was all about self-fulfillment. The goal in life was to be fulfilled in oneself. My dad hated his job. I'm not talking about some days were better than others. I'm not talking about you took the bad with the good. My dad hated his job. And so one day, Dad was lamenting at the kitchen table. And I'm not saying all teenagers do this, but I was kind of a smug know-it-all teenager. And so being a smug know-it-all teenager and a product of the 70s and having swallowed all of this self-fulfillment stuff, I smugly said to Dad, "Well, why don't you just quit?" Now, I don't know if y'all have noticed or not, but we Pikes can be kind of loud sometimes. My dad usually didn't speak softly. When he was amused, he laughed loudly, and when he was angry, he spoke loudly. But in this encounter, Dad spoke the softest I ever heard him speak. And he spoke the most deliberately I ever heard him speak. And I heard him more loudly and more clearly than anything else he ever said. He said, "When you have a family to support, you don't just quit." I heard him loudly. I heard him clearly. When others are depending on you, you sacrifice yourself. When others are depending on you, you sacrifice your hopes. When others are depending on you, you sacrifice your dreams. When others are depending on you, you sacrifice your longings. When others are depending on you, you willingly subvert your well-being for the good of those who depend on you. In my personal experience, when I remember my dad, do I get the warm fuzzies? Nope. Nope. I remember a man who had some prominent flaws. But I remember a flawed man who gave his all to protect his family and to provide for his family, who loved his family more than he loved himself, to the point of sacrificing himself. I also reflected on my attempt at fatherhood. I can't speak for any fathers in here but this one. I had an image of what I was going to be when my children were born. And I have the reality, most of which I care not to reflect upon. I never taught a parenting class. And I served a couple of churches that had a lot of young families. I had the opportunity. But I've always felt I fell far too short myself to be advising others. But the characteristics I recall in my father were the motivations of my attitudes and my actions as I attempted to be the father God wanted me to be. And then I thought about Joseph. Earthly father figure of Jesus. I don't know if it tells us quite as much, but the Bible tells us quite a bit about Joseph as it does Mary. But somehow over the years, we have venerated Mary to the point that some traditions virtually worship her. But history has not appreciated Joseph as I feel it should have. We don't have any words of Joseph recorded in the New Testament. We don't have any songs. We just have a man and his actions. God had a plan. Now, I know that God and God's power can do anything God chooses to do. But in the story that we have recorded in the New Testament, that plan had to be carried out by human beings recognizing and obeying the instruction and the will of God. The account of the early childhood of Jesus, where Joseph is prominent, did not take place in a vacuum. The story of Joseph, earthly father figure of Jesus, occurred in a hostile world and a volatile world. Again, God can do whatever God chooses, but in the New Testament, as we have it passed down to us, if at any point had Joseph dismissed the messages of God that came through the dreams, the ministry of Jesus as we know it would not have occurred. If at any point Joseph had decided to bail on Mary and the child Jesus, the ministry of Jesus as we know it would not have occurred. Joseph was wise. Joseph was courageous. Joseph was obedient. Joseph was wise enough to seek God's will and guidance as he faced a situation that was far too big for him and far too complicated for any man to understand. Joseph had the courage to marry a woman with a now questionable reputation. Let me remind you, for it's so easy to forget in 21st century America, in first century Judaism, if a woman was found to be pregnant out of wedlock, She either died by stoning at worst, or she was banished from the family and from the community at best. Joseph had the courage to marry a woman with a now questionable reputation. He had the courage to accept and stay faithful to a family that brought danger into his life. I invite you to go back and read all of the Nativity in Matthew. It's not the pretty Christmas card. It's a dangerous, volatile world. Joseph was obedient to be faithful to his calling, which was to be Mary's husband and Jesus' daddy, which from all that I can see afforded him no earthly benefits. It was a calling to sacrifice, and he did so valiantly. Even so, history has relegated Joseph to a secondary role at best. Yet the more I read the Bible and I grasp the realities in which the events of the Bible occurred, the more that I realize both Joseph and Mary were people of courage and obedience and wisdom. Humanly speaking, Joseph was a hero, if indeed not the hero of the Nativity. Before Joseph was convinced of the origin of Mary's pregnancy, he was doing his best to do the right thing and not disgrace her, and to attempt to limit the danger of her suffering the punishment of sexual relations out of wedlock. When Joseph was convinced that Mary was pregnant because the Holy Spirit had created the baby, he manned up. He manned up. And he fulfilled his calling by God through faithful fatherhood. Perhaps history has relegated Joseph to a secondary role because, let's face it, isn't it a whole lot easier to get the romantic notions when you think about the sweet virgin having God's son? Through Mary, it's so much easier to have the romantic pictures and to get the warm fuzzies than it is the role of Joseph. But as I stated earlier, according to how we have the New Testament passed down to us, had Joseph not been faithful in his role, Mary would not have been able to be faithful in her role, and Jesus would have not been able to be faithful in his role. There are times in life when, for the good of the family, somebody's got to step up. There are times in life, regardless of how one feels in their emotions, somebody's got to step up. There are times, regardless of the fear one may feel themselves, for the good of the family, somebody's got to step up. There are times in life when one even has to sacrifice their well-being for the good of the family. Somebody has to step up. Traditionally, that role has been that of the father. And sometimes fulfilling that role can come across as the father is unfeeling. Sometimes fulfilling that role can come across as the father never fears. My son was a grown man when it dawned on him that I got scared. He said, "I thought growing up you weren't scared of anything." But at the risk of sounding male chauvinist, could I be? Could I be? In my mind, at the risk of sounding male chauvinist, no. Fulfilling that role can make the Father sometimes appear to be aloof. But at the risk of being politically incorrect this morning, I will say to you that to be a faithful Father, there are times that we men need to man up. There are times for the good of the family that we need to man up. Now, perhaps some of us looking back recognize something in our fathers that we wish we had recognized much earlier. That man that perhaps appeared he feared nothing. That man that appeared that he was aloof because in his mind he's trying to work out the family things. In his mind and the family sight appears to be unfeeling. We look back and realized he loved us deeply. Maybe his love wasn't voiced as much as recent fatherhood encourages the father to do. Maybe dad seemed preoccupied with all these other things when mom seemed centered on the children. Dad was probably the disciplinarian. I doubt if any of you moms in here ever did this, but I wish I had a dollar for every time my mama said this, I would be retired. Just wait until your daddy gets home. Looking back, we now realize that man that sometimes seemed aloof, that man that sometimes appeared that nothing ruffled him, that man that sometimes seemed to be preoccupied was actually the silent, sacrificing, solid rock of the family. If we're still fortunate to have our fathers with us, I hope at some point in this day you express your love and your appreciation. If we're not so fortunate, I hope at some point in this day we take time to thank God for what we had. And might I add just a couple of more quick thoughts? It appears that if you take Mary and Joseph and put them together, you have a good model of the complete parental picture. We have a picture of our Heavenly Father, how our Heavenly Father deals with us. For in Genesis, it said that God created humans in His own image, male and female. He created them. And thus, we have a complete picture of how God relates to us. There are times we need encouraging in the nurturing manner of a mother. There are times we need the tougher love of a father. There are times where we need the gentle touch of a mother. There are times we need the challenge of a father. And if you look back at your life, you'll probably find that there have been many times when God, our Heavenly Father, has been taking care of our needs as the unnoticed, silent, solid rock. Through each method, our Heavenly Father was saying, and continues to say, I love you. Dads, thank you. Thank you for being there for your family, even if at times you are not understood. I trust your children, if grown, now understand and are thankful. May God bless us men to be men of wisdom, to be men of courage, to be men of obedience, that regardless of our children's age, we may be the Christian male influence that they need. Happy Father's Day. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you for the example of Joseph, a man whose words were never recorded, but a man whose actions made an eternal difference. Precious Lord, thank you for faithful fathers. We all do our best, and we're all flawed. Yet, gracious Lord, we pray that our flaws will be minimized and our influence for you will be maximized. And Lord, thank you for our fathers that have gone on to be with you. I, for one, must confess there are things about my father I will never understand. But one thing I do know, I wish that earlier I had realized in the midst of his flaws, his heart. So, gracious Lord, you know all of our family relationships. May you maximize them for the relationship of each other and maximize them that we may be in the fullest potential of our relationship with you. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Our altar is open as always. If you feel led to come and pray for any reason, please come as we sing.